This morning's sermon is from Psalm 6 and Psalm 7. And in reading these two psalms, I'm motivated to ask the question, should we pray for mercy or should we pray for justice? We're going to be discussing how both penitential and imprecatory psalms point us to Jesus. Don't worry if you don't know what penitential or imprecatory psalms mean. You don't have to Google it now. I'll cover that during the sermon. For many Christians, the book of Psalms is one of their best loved and most memorized books of the Bible. It's also probably the book that we read from and even sing from most in the church. That's been true for a long time, since the book of Psalms was Israel's hymnal. The 150 chapters in the book of Psalms are a collection of 150 different songs written by various authors over hundreds of years. David is identified as the author of more psalms than any other author, and because of that, people often refer to David as the psalmist. But there's many other people, from Moses to Solomon and their assistants, who also wrote psalms. There's different types of psalms, and many psalms fit into more than one category. There are psalms on different topics, including praise, thanksgiving, lament, penitence, wisdom, reflections on creation, and even cursing. Because of that, it's safe to say, regardless of what mood you find yourself in, there's probably a psalm to match. The different uses include songs for worship, songs for special occasions, and even songs for singing on the way up to the temple, known as Psalms of Ascent. That's right, there's psalms written specifically to be sung on the way to church. Any of you put those on your CD player this morning on the way in? No? The different styles include songs meant to be sung to a specific tune or instrument, complete with musical notation that we don't fully understand anymore, and acrostics, where different sections of the psalm start with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Another common type of psalm is known as a royal psalm, to celebrate the king, and many of these psalms are so grand they can only ultimately be applied to Jesus. These psalms are also known as messianic psalms. We usually think of royal and messianic psalms as pointing to Jesus, but I want to show how both penitential and imprecatory psalms also point to Jesus. So we're going to take a brief look at some examples of these two types of psalms, and then focus our attention on two back-to-back psalms that are examples of these. Psalm 6, which is a penitential psalm, and Psalm 7, which is an imprecatory psalm. So first, penitential psalms. Penitential psalms are probably the easiest type of psalm for Christians to understand and relate to. They are a confession of our sin and a request for God to mercifully save us from the just consequences of our sin. Our English word penitential comes from a Latin word that means to feel badly for something that we've done wrong. We send someone to a penitentiary because they've done something wrong, and we pray penitential psalms because we have done something wrong. Penitential psalms ask God for forgiveness and rescue. Here's some examples of penitential psalms and the kinds of things that they ask God for. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Selah. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found, and when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you're proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and create a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Or Psalm 102. Hear my prayer, O God. Let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her. The appointed time has come. In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. These psalms sound very Christian. It's easy to see how these psalms fit in with the request from the Lord's Prayer asking God to forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. You may have noticed that the New Testament quotes from all of the penitential psalms we just read, and we sung from two of them. You can see Romans 3, 4, and Hebrews 1 to see where those psalms are quoted. By contrast, imprecatory psalms are the hardest type of psalm to deal with or explain. They're a statement of our innocence and a request for God to justly punish our enemies. Our English word pray comes from the same Latin word as imprecatory. Imprecatory, you hear that word in there? But the connotations of these two words are very different. Prayers typically ask God for something good for someone. Imprecations ask God for something bad for someone. It's hard to see how these psalms fit in with the request from the Lord's Prayer asking God to forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, since these requests don't sound very forgiving. Here's some examples of imprecatory psalms and the kinds of things that they ask God for. Psalm 35. May those who seek my life be disgraced and put to shame. May those who plot my ruin be turned back in dismay. May they be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. May their path be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. May ruin overtake them by surprise. May the net they hid entangle them. May they fall into the pit to their ruin. Psalm 69. May the table set before them become a trap. May it become retribution. May the table set before them become a snare. May it become retribution and a trap. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see and their backs bent forever. Pour out your wrath on them. Let your fierce anger overtake them. May their place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in their tents. Charge them with crime upon crime. Do not let them share in your salvation. May they be blotted out of the book of life and not be listed with the righteous. That's not a prayer I want to have prayed for me. Or Psalm 109. Appoint an evil man to oppose him. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he's tried, let him be found guilty, and may his prayers condemn him. May his days be few. May another take his place of leadership. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children be wandering beggars. May they be driven from their ruined homes. May a creditor seize all he has. May strangers plunder the fruits of his labor. May no one extend kindness to him or take pity on his fatherless children. May his descendants be cut off and their name be blotted out from the next generation. May the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord. May the sin of his mother never be blotted out. May their sin always remain before the Lord, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. These psalms sound mean and not very Christian. It's hard to imagine Jesus or any other New Testament authors praying these psalms, because Jesus taught us to bless those who curse us, to love our enemies, and pray for those who persecute us. Imprecatory psalms don't sound like the types of prayers Jesus had in mind when he told us to pray for our enemies. And yet, the New Testament quotes from all three of the imprecatory psalms that we just read. And Jesus himself is the one speaking in several of those instances. You can see that in John 2, John 15, Acts 1, Romans 11, and Romans 15. Let's take a look at Psalm 6, which is a penitential psalm, and Psalm 7, which is an imprecatory psalm. Before we read Psalm 6 and 7 as examples of penitential and imprecatory psalms, let me point out a few things for you to watch for as we read. First, notice that penitential psalms acknowledge that God is justly angry at our sin when we do evil. Second, notice that we have enemies and other problems that we need to be saved from. And third, notice that our only hope is that because of God's mercy, he won't give us what we deserve. Notice that imprecatory psalms follow similar themes as penitential psalms with slight but important variations. Number one, God is justly angry at our enemies' sin when they do evil. Second, we have enemies and other problems that we need to be saved from. And third, our only hope is that because of God's justice, he will judge between us and our enemies as we deserve. So keep those similarities in mind as we read Psalm 6 and 7. But before we read, I should say one other thing here. We don't know for sure what according to Shemoneth means or what a Shigayon is. That's an explanation of both of these psalms. Those are musical terms probably that have been lost in history and in translation. We also don't know who Cush, a Benjamite, was. But since Saul and his men were Benjamites, it means that Psalm 7 was probably written about David's time being chased by Saul. And we don't know the historical setting of when or why David wrote Psalm 6, but it sounds like, if you listen to the words here, both an illness and enemies are problems that David is facing in this psalm. So here they are. Psalm 6, which is a penitential psalm. For the director of music with stringed instruments, according to Shemoneth, a psalm of David. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. No one remembers you when he is dead. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out from groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and dismayed. They will turn back in sudden disgrace. So watch for those same themes, but notice how the tone changes here in Psalm 7. A Shigayon of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning Cush, a Benjamite. O Lord my God, I take refuge in you. Save and deliver me from all who pursue me, or they will tear me like a lion and rip me to pieces with no one to rescue me. O Lord my God, if I have done this and there is guilt on my hands, if I have done evil to him who is at peace with me, or without cause have robbed my foe, then let my enemy pursue and overtake me. Let him trample my life to the ground and make me sleep in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Rise up against the rage of my enemies. Awake, my God. Decree justice. Let the assembled peoples gather around you. Rule over them from on high. Let the Lord judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity, O Most High. O righteous God who searches minds and hearts, bring to an end the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure. My shield is God Most High, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, a God who expresses his wrath every day. If he does not relent or repent, he will sharpen his sword. He will bend and string his bow. He has prepared his deadly weapons and made ready his flaming arrows. He who is pregnant with evil and conceives trouble gives birth to disillusionment. He who digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit he has made. The trouble he causes recoils on himself. His violence comes down on his own head. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Both Psalms 6 and 7 start with God's anger as a given condition. But Psalm 6 is a request for God to be merciful based on his love. Based on his love and his mercy. While Psalm 7 is a request for God to be just based on our righteousness, which matches his righteousness. Here's the theme from these two Psalms in an abbreviated form. From Psalm 6, you can take it to just say, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am faint. Save me because of your unfailing love. In Psalm 7, arise, O Lord, in your anger. You hear that? It's the same, your anger. Awake, my God, decree justice. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. So, should we pray for mercy or should we pray for justice? The two most famous times in David's life when he could have honestly prayed a penitential psalm and an imprecatory psalm form a sharp contrast that's pointed out by an author named Gene Edwards, and I want to share it with you. David asked for justice in his struggle against Saul. You can read that story in 1 Samuel 19 through 31. And David asked for mercy in his struggle against his son Absalom. You can read that story in 2 Samuel 11 through 19. When Saul and his men were chasing David, David could honestly tell God, this isn't fair. All I've ever done is submitted to Saul and helped him, and now he's trying to kill me. For the sake of justice, please help me. Bring the wicked things that Saul is trying to do to me back on his own head, and I'll praise you for it. Psalm 7 and 18 are both psalms written about David's righteousness in his conflict with Saul. But in contrast, when Absalom and his men were chasing David, David could only honestly admit that the way that he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and then used the army to murder her husband meant that God would have been just to let Absalom take and abuse his kingdom, his army, and his wives. David begged God for forgiveness and mercy, not justice. In this case, even though Absalom was sinning against him, David knew that it was just for God to let that happen. Psalm 51 is written about David's sin with Bathsheba, and Psalm 6 sounds very similar in tone. We don't know for sure when David wrote it, but it sounds very similar. So how do we resolve the conflict between penitential and imprecatory psalms? Imprecatory psalms aren't just a request for God to curse the psalmist's enemies. They're also a statement that the psalmist's enemies deserve to have bad things happen to them, and that the psalmist deserves to have good things happen to him. When we're talking about what people deserve, we're talking about the concept of desert. That's what C.S. Lewis called justice. The concept of desert. It's what people deserve. When we ask for mercy, we have to talk about what we deserve. Before we talk about mercy, we have to talk about what we deserve. Mercy means not getting the bad things that we deserve. Justice means getting either the good things or the bad things that we deserve. Imprecatory psalms aren't isolated requests for God to bring bad things to our enemies. They're requests for God to bring about justice. The main problem for Christians praying imprecatory psalms is that, if we're honest, requests for justice mean that we too deserve bad things for the sins that we have committed. Right? If we can pray imprecatory psalms about someone else can pray imprecatory psalms about us. Penitential psalms are saying to God, I'm in a bad situation that's my own fault, and I need your help based on your mercy. Imprecatory psalms are saying, I'm in a bad situation that's not my fault, and I need your justice. Imprecatory psalms are a little bit easier to understand in this light. However, the main feature of imprecatory psalms is still difficult to understand, since they're requests for God to not only bring the good to us that we deserve, but for God to bring the bad to our enemies that they deserve. We need to be careful to leave justice in God's hands. But we can remember in prayer that God sees justice as a good thing. God's mercy and justice are both seen most clearly at the cross. Jesus had the right to pray imprecatory psalms from the cross, but instead, he prayed Psalm 22, and he prayed for God to forgive his enemies. The fact that Jesus asked God to give us mercy means that we can trust that God will answer our prayers for mercy. God answers our prayers for mercy as a matter of justice based on Jesus' righteousness. Jesus had the right to ask for things based on his own righteousness. And the thing that Jesus asked God to do for us was to forgive us, even though we don't deserve to be forgiven. Ultimately, only Jesus has the right to pray imprecatory psalms, since he's the only one who can request anything for prayer and honestly say to God, I deserve for you to answer this prayer for me. we need to be careful to let God be God. Remember that Adam and Eve's sin was based on an improper desire to be like God in the wrong way. As I read imprecatory psalms, they're a good reminder that God is not evil or lax in punishing wickedness. God is a perfectly just judge who loves righteousness, as we saw in our worship text in Psalm 5. God will see justice done in the end, either by punishing us as our sins deserve, or by counting Jesus' death in our place and counting Jesus' righteousness in our place, as we've been seeing from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which we're being encouraged to memorize. So when should we pray in imprecatory and penitential psalms as Christians? When we face injustice on earth, we can pray to God as the just judge and ask for justice along with the psalmist, as well as along with the saints under the altar in heaven in Revelation 6. But as we pray, we should also remember to ask for mercy for our enemies, since we have received mercy and forgiveness for our own sins. We can confidently pray penitential psalms since we ask for God's mercy on the basis of Jesus' righteousness rather than our own. C.S. Lewis also pointed out that for a person to be a perfect penitent, he would have to be a perfect person who by definition doesn't need to ask for forgiveness. Fortunately, Jesus deserves for God to answer our prayers of penance, since he was a perfect person and he prayed for us to be forgiven. And that's how both penitential and imprecatory psalms point us to Jesus.